everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Just want to get the word out to people who want to get things from me and think I have some juice around the station or anywhere. No Doubt is coming out to Los Angeles on, I guess it's tomorrow, Wednesday, or maybe it's Wednesday and Thursday.
This is a band that's sort of created by our local flagship ship station, K-Rock, so you'd have tons of pull with that show, right?
Right. Yeah. K-Rock, the mother station out here, is a station that basically broke No Doubt maybe 6-7 years ago now, and has been partially responsible for their success. So they got a bunch of tickets, K-Rock, out here in Los Angeles. And my girlfriend wanted some of these tickets about a month and a half ago. And then more recently, I wanted some of these tickets about a week ago when some guy called some car dealership guy called. And here's the thing that's sad about our position and our job here, Drew. I think people assume that we can do whatever we want. We're just not doing it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy calls me. He's from the BMW dealership. He's done me a few favors. And he says, hey, my daughter really wants to go see No Doubt. Can you see what you can do? And I always warn people, hey, listen, don't expect anything. There may be a van driver. Maybe someone is temping at the office. There may be a couple of people ahead of me on the list. Don't think because I'm on-air talent that I'm going to bump anyone off any list. And
if any list even exists for K-Rock employees.
Right. That's another good point. So I pick up the phone and I call Producer Ann. And Producer Ann usually gives me the same speech I gave to the person who wanted the tickets. Don't expect too much. And I always tell her it's not for me. I've put in many a ticket request over the year, and I don't think I've gone to any of the gigs. But I get the call back, and no tickets. So everybody, just be forewarned when you ask me and or Drew for something. It's not that we don't like you, although we probably consider you a pain in the ass. We would get you the tickets if we could. No, we do make the calls.
Seems like it'd be nice, you know, if we could get concert tickets pretty free and easily for people, and we would sort of hand them out as a perk, and it'd be nice.
It would be, but then that would mean we were different than other people, and that's not the way you run things.
No, not only not different, we need to be a little beneath.
No, now, Drew, don't go that far. No one ever yells at us for asking for the tickets.
That's true.
They just don't give us the tickets. Pat?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up? It's only, hold on, to be fair to K-Rock, too, it's only a 7,000-seat venue.
Be fair.
Yeah, it's fairly intimate.
To me, this is all in the line of truly kidding, because I don't care about this stuff. Do you, really?
No, I don't care about it, but I do for people who care. People care about it. They call me.
I guess, thankfully, we don't care.
Well, but put it this way. My girlfriend has wanted No Doubt tickets for coming on 2 months. And just figure I could hook her up.
Think how they confuse we make our employer, though. Think about it. They force us to go to 2 concerts a year. We kick and scream. Okay,
that's you.
Please.
Oh, shut up.
Come on.
I'm done with
this. And then there are other concerts we ask for tickets for, and they don't show up.
That's not me. I ask for tickets on behalf of people who want the tickets. I never go. We always have to work. Pat?
Yeah?
You're 19. What's up?
Yeah, I was wondering if there's like a cure for blue balls other than jacking off, man.
Well, why would you need to do something other than beat off?
Well, like...
There's your cure.
Say my girl, like, hung me out to dry late at night, and I just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through all the hassle of having to, you know...
Hey, if you look at beating off as a hassle, son, you should kill yourself right now. You understand? Because you're 19. Another week on this earth would
easy,
be a waste.
Easy. Your delicate sensibility has been truly robbed. I know. I can see you almost took a hammer to the machine here, the phone machine.
The phone machine?
The phone bank.
This guy's a jack-off. Speaking of jack-offs, you just beat off. You don't got all the time. Chris?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yeah. How's it going, guys?
Good.
What's up?
Well, like my question's for Dr. Drew. I've been married for 2 years now, And my wife and I just found out we were pregnant about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're about 6 weeks pregnant. And last night we had intercourse, and there was some spotting of blood on the sheets when we get done, after we were done. And I was wondering if that's normal or if she needs to call her doctor.
She needs to call her doctor. It may not be a big deal, but she definitely needs to check in.
Okay.
All right.
Sort of sound like one of those Andy Griffith bits where he explains football to the crowd.
Has she...
You ever hear that bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
These boys commence a fighting and hollering
and carrying on. And this one feller, well, he got himself a number on his jersey. And he starts yelling at the other fellers. So the other feller hacks him a ball. It's made of pigskin. And the fellers on the other team... Well, they commenced to tackling him, but he run away. And then he throw that pigskin down the field. And a feller who's wearing the same sweater this feller's wearing, but with a different number, catches the ball, and he runs like a stuck pig. Woo!
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
One of the things you really worry about in a situation like this is that it could be an ectopic pregnancy, a tubal pregnancy. Bleeding, a positive pregnancy test, any abdominal pain, that's something that needs to be looked into immediately if she has any pain during the night tonight, okay?
Okay. All right.
Good times
it.
There,
okay.
Buddy.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I like that, Chris. He's good people. He's good people. Jen?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Hey, guys, what's up? I just want to say, first-time caller, long-time listener, I love you guys.
Great.
Whatever.
Great.
What's an enthusiastic caller. We haven't had one of those in about a week.
I know.
Okay, well, here's my question. I have a friend, and his pretty much best friend is a big druggie. She takes LSD and acid and stuff, but she has, like, a 4.2 GPA. I mean, she's an incredibly smart kid, and she writes essays on, like, acid and stuff, and I'm wondering how, and she gets A's on them. How is that possible?
Well,
I don't get it.
There's several issues. One is that... I hope I've never given the impression or said that LSD affects cognition, cognitive functioning, intellectual functioning. It affects emotional functioning, it affects personality functioning, it affects perceptions, affects a lot of other stuff, but it doesn't necessarily affect intellectual functioning. Now, in terms of the performance on, you know, creative endeavors or intellectual endeavors, people have done studies where they put people on drugs, told them to do the best thing they could, then took them off drugs, and had them write something else, and asked them, you know, subjectively what was the better, and of course said, oh, the one I did on drugs, I was so inspired, it was so great. Then they have them look at both of them and evaluate them, and the one that the person that did on drugs, they just go, oh, this piece of crap. What was I thinking? So, objectively...
Well, when they were high, when she's writing
She
papers.
Said on she writes on LSD, she said.
Well, I don't think that's what she meant. Jen?
Yeah.
Is she high when she's writing the papers?
Yeah.
And she's getting A's on them?
Yeah.
Well, Tim Larry, she's very smart.
Right. There are people that are, and it's interesting.
Here's the thing. Some people are just so goddamn smart that they're able to overcome a lot of things. I mean, listen, I'll give you an example. There's some athletes, and you hear about these guys all the time. They can drink. They can smoke. They don't work out. They don't have the work ethic. They don't have the diet that a lot of the other guys have. They're lazy, so on and so forth. They still excel because they had such a great hand dealt to them physically.
Genetically.
And genetically that they're able to overcome all the things that would hurt a lot of other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it never lasts forever, but there's nothing like it. I mean, look, there ain't a work ethic. And you know, I'm sending a great message to the kids, but there's nothing that can ever trump a good genetic hand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how hard you work, whether it's an athlete or as a student. Certain stuff just comes easier to certain people. And so the question is this making her smarter? Is it screwing her up enough to get her out of the A category? The answer is no.
And in other ways, is it screwing her up? And things that can't be measured in intellectual, you know, formats. Timothy Leary was up on the show a couple times before he died, and he could express himself with such great clarity. It was like vibrant expression. But when you dug beneath it, it was like sort of disorganized. And he had real perceptual problems. He couldn't put headphones on his head. I'll never forget this. He couldn't figure out how to put a set of cans on his ears.
Yeah, cans. Thank you for correcting yourself. And also to youngins who are listening to my voice as I speak. I just drifted off there, Drew. I got weird. Don't ever let me close my eyes again when I'm talking. there's also this thing that you think, as a kid, it's real confusing because I remember when there was a kid that smoked, I was like, oh, man, this guy smokes. How could he play on the football team? Because smoking, man, it takes your breath away. And it does this. Look, you could smoke a pack a day, and at 17, do fine on the football team.
That's right.
You could drink and get loaded every weekend and smoke and still kick anyone's ass if you were going to kick their ass anyway.
Uh-huh, at 17.
At 17.
Now at 27, if you've been doing that all that rest of that time.
Even then, you'll kick a fair amount of ass. Sad but true, with the boozing and the smoking. It takes quite some time, and I'm saying the same with the drug use, you know? It's the same with all this stuff. You don't feel it in high school. I mean, you're still going to do well on your tests. You're still going to kick ass
in
your wrestling
match. That is precisely the problem, is that high school age kids don't see the consequences biologically in their peers because they're not using long enough.
Well, and part of the problem, too, is everyone tells them how it's going to ruin them, and it doesn't really seem to ruin them.
Right.
And so they say, well, how bad could this be? The person was lying.
Right, screw that. Right.
All right, so anyway, Jen, your friend, may be a very smart person, and the drugs may not be knocking her down far enough to feel effect at this point, but one day she will. And you can take some
solace
in that. And Drew, what is this nonsense with the 4.3 GPA?
I know.
Listen, 4.0, that's the best GPA you can have, is it not? I mean, don't tell me, because my GPA was like a 1.7 or something like that. What's the D? The 2? No, D. What's 2.5. 2 is a C. Is that true?
No. C is a...
No, 3 is a B. 4?
No, you're
4.0
right.
Is an A.
You're right.
I had a little... You know, I had like a 1.5 GPA.
Nice.
But 4 was the ceiling.
Right.
Now it's going up to 4.5.
It's making your achievements look diminished.
This 4.3 BS is the 100... It's right up there with the 110%. I submit it does not exist. It's like when I get minus 4 stars.
Which you're very proud of.
When they review shows of mine in the newspaper and they give me minus 4 stars, I would argue mathematically that equation is not possible. That you cannot be minus stars.
It's just a new system. Why do we have to have a new system? Just give me a 0 star.
Look, if you're giving a movie a rating of 1 to 5, you can't give it a minus 4. That doesn't exist. That's not fair.
If it's red-handed, I think it does.
Oh, Anderson bringing up red-handed. How dare
I was thinking about that this morning for some reason.
How dare everyone.
I was. I swear to God. This is an interesting call. Diana?
Yeah, this is me.
What's up?
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say that I don't go through a day without making somebody laugh by Adam's jokes or helping somebody with advice with Dr. Drew's
jokes.
Advice.
Oh.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I'm kind of nervous, but here's my thing. I have been in a marriage for 12 years, and it's been like a rough one, rather emotionally and verbally abusive in a way. And I made the mistake of moving last summer with my husband to the Middle East.
Oh, good times.
Why?
Why? He had me convinced that it would be a better life for me and our kids, our two kids.
Yeah, it's great. We can roll around in the sand.
What was it about that for him that was better?
He had been here for a long time and found that work and everything was just too much, too stressful for him, and he couldn't handle it anymore.
Interesting.
Bad business decisions. And
where are you going in the Middle East?
Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful and beautiful people. Beautiful
so, that's where he's from.
Yes, that's where he's from. So what happened was we went there last summer, and as of February, I told him that I needed to come back because we were having problems. And he let me take my youngest son, who's 3, with me, but my oldest son, who is 7, is still there with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a tough time making the decision about whether or not I should go back and try to get my son back, or if I'm better off staying here.
How do they treat the ladies over there in Jordan?
Well, the ones that I've talked to, basically their quote is, well, I'm just a woman, what can I do, you know?
I mean, like if he killed you, would something happen to him?
I guess if he had good reason to back it up, no.
How were you treated when you were there?
fairly okay, but I mean the situation between the two of us, he was getting more verbally abusive, and
it wasn't
a good situation.
All right, and you have your one son. Does he want the other son?
His thing is, well, if he wants to go with you, that's fine. You can take him, but he doesn't. He's seven, and basically, more or less, he's a boy, and he's treated like a prince there. So
no, yeah.
He doesn't have the urge to want to come back here.
No, listen, I don't blame him. You come over here, and you got a bunch of angry lesbians and tree huggers beating the crap out of you for being a guy. I'd rather go to a place that's a little more guy friendly myself.
Okay, well.
Are the kids being raised Islam?
Yes.
Yeah, are you doing that with a
wonderful religion?
Are you going to continue that out here with the 3-year-old?
No.
Uh-oh. Oh, it's going to be mad. Jesus. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Middle East, worst taste culture in the world, would you say, just from a taste standpoint? Mix in music, fashion, jewelry, architecture,
furniture,
interior design.
I'll put it this way. They're probably about 10 years behind the times, but...
10? I'd put about 3 zeros behind that, behind that 10.
You know, they're still into the Michael Jackson Thriller thing.
They're the worst. I was just discussing this yesterday. They have the worst taste of any culture, the Middle East. She said, I think that's safe to say.
Well,
could you imagine an IKEA equivalent, but it's all Middle Eastern stuff?
You know what? I'll tell you something. They have a really nice Safeway there.
Oh, really?
They're moving up in the times.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, listen, why don't you... Well, make sure your son wants to come back with you, and if he does, go get him. And if he doesn't, then you can't go get him.
It's so hard for me because it's like, I mean, we kind of had like a really close relationship, and I've been away from him for like 2 months, and it's just been really
hard. Do you talk to him every day?
No. As a matter of fact, I've only been able to speak to him once.
This is just awful.
Something's a little off here.
Yeah? How do you mean?
Well, you had a real close relationship with the guy, your son, but you agreed to leave him behind.
Well, okay, put it this way. When you're there, you don't have any family, you don't speak the language, and things are becoming, my husband was being,
He's being abusive, so you grab the one kid, you get out of there. But why is it you've only been able to speak to him once in the last 2 months?
Well, I've tried to call, but it's always the excuse of, he's not here, or he's sleeping, or...
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, the husband's keeping him away.
And brainwashing him, in my opinion, and many other people's opinions.
Brainwashing about what?
About, why would your mother leave you?
Boy. This is just an awful situation.
I know. And this is, by the way, why you don't have kids
marriages.
With idiots. No, you have mixed marriages, but you can't... Didn't you see that Sally Fields movie? It was a TV special about 8 or 10 years ago. This is what goes on.
Not without my daughter or
not
something.
Not without something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, my golden glove. As it turns out, she went away to the Hamptons for the weekend, and she'd left her golden globe at Sissy Spacek's summer cottage.
I think you have the wrong movie.
The point is this is, I know this isn't doing you any good, but anyone listening and thinking about marrying a Middle Eastern guy and then heading back to his homeland with him, you go ahead and expect the worst.
Exactly.
That's all
I'll
I'm saying.
I'll back you up on that.
Yeah, I mean, at least you got out of there in one piece.
Right.
Yeah, I'm almost
thinking like you got it's sad and pathetic.
Cut
like you almost
got
to like chalk this one up to experience.
No, not all right.
No, yes. Yeah, that's what you're dealing with, the entire country of, no, not all right. Ugh.
You know what's another thing? I called the Jordanian consulate today and asked them, what my rights would be if I went back and wanted to take my son. And their advice was, I think you should just go back and work things out. Everything will be fine.
Yeah.
No, well, not all right.
He'll kill you with one of those giant Arabian Nights swords.
In a way, that's your only... solution if you're going to try to make a solution. Beyond that, what is really important is that you find a way to, on your son's behalf, I guess the least you can do is to try to maintain a connection with him and let him know how much you love him and how much you care about him, how painful it is for you to leave, but that you have to, and that life has created this huge rift, and try to let him know that it's not about him. And then the three-year-old just really start to raise that three-year-old and establish a life for him out here.
Yeah. It's too bad. Awful. Too bad he's going to be missing out on Allah. Mm. Very sad. Very sad. Allah's it's a wonderful, wonderful man. Nobody should be raised without him.
He's not a man, see.
Oh, he's not a man?
Muhammad's the man.
Oh, who's Allah?
Allah's God.
Isn't Gala? I mean, Allah? Why not combine them called Gala? No, doesn't Allah have a dork? I mean, he's got a penis, right?
No.
Well, he's God.
No, but he's just is. He's just.
Oh, he just everything. Is? Yeah. He's everywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the one who's showering them with sunlight, no water, parching the earth, and forcing them basically just live on the dirt floor. He's a great guy. What about our God?
Yes.
A Christian guy?
Mm-hmm.
What's he? Is he a guy?
It depends which sort of Christian sect you're in. I mean, sometimes Jesus
was a guy. Or is he in all of us?
Mm-hmm. Some.
Okay. It's all working out, everybody.
Take a break. I'll give you a little theology lesson during the break.
Allah's not a dude. I picture Allah as like a husky guy wearing a robe and a turban with like a big beard. Sort of like Saint Nick from Lebanon. You know, like if Santa came from the Middle East.
As I understand, Allah is basically these are all Abrahamic religions. And so
yeah.
Allah is sort of the same as Yahweh. It's
Yahweh.
It's a Judaic God.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I know it all makes sense.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah, you guys keep going. All of you. You crazy Jews, you head on down to the synagogue and don't shave. Don't shave. You don't shave. And you Allah guys, you put that towel on the ground and face toward Mecca, because that's going to make a big difference. And you're born again. You study that Bible. Remember, literal interpretation. That's the key to happiness. Study that Bible. Beat the crap out of kids. It's great. Fantastic. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back. Buddy Loveline. I was just explaining to Drew during the break that there'll never be peace in the Middle East ever, because the people in that part of the country, whereas I'm not one to judge, are very mean people. And you don't believe me? Ordered a little Zanku chicken, little Lebanese chicken for lunch today over at the office. Yeah, good times. Yeah, they're delightful. Even the people that come from that country to this country and open chicken stands are mean. let's see. Give me a half beef shawarma and half chicken. No, it cannot be done.
No, not all right.
No. Well, they're the same price, right? Yes. And they're 2 feet apart on the counter there? Yes. Why don't you give me the half chicken and half... No, cannot. Okay, Well, see, on the chicken order, give me all white meat. No, it's not done. Listen, I'll pay a little. No, I cannot. I got the couscous and the falafel plate, and that came to $6. You got a $10 minimum on your Visa card. I don't have any cash. Just charge me the $10 for the couscous. No, listen, you don't understand it. It's only $6.95. I'm saying, charge me the whole $10 and we'll put it on the mat. So, no, it cannot be done. It's okay, thank you. You're a delight. You're delightful, delightful folks over there. Really delight. So, is that part of the world ever going to get along? No, it will not. Because their people love to say no. They love to argue. They love to get in your face. And we wonder why everyone is fighting over there constantly. You want to know why everyone's fighting over there constantly? Those folks love to fight. You know those families that fight constantly? You have them, you see them on Cops. They live down the street sometimes. You went to school with some of them. Fighting, fist fights, dad and the brother, brother and brother. All that chaos, constant chaos. You know why they're constantly fighting? It's not because of, you know, money or food or education. They fight. That's what they do. They like it. I don't even say that they like it. It's just what they do. The same people, there's people who never get into fights and people who do nothing but fight. I don't know why it is, but for the same reason the guys who are never going to get in a fight aren't ever going to get in a fight, the people that fight, they fight.
Constantly.
And that's what they do.
Hmm.
And the Middle East has been fighting for a billion years. And guess what, folks? It's going to go. It's going to keep going. No! Cannot! That's scary, Drew.
Startled me.
Yeah, everyone go out and try yourself some nice Lebanese food so you can get yelled at. It's really the only dining experience where you get yelled at while you eat.
Alyssa?
Alyssa.
Uh-huh.
You're 20?
Or Alyssa?
Do what?
What do you want?
Well, I have a problem that I'm trying to get fixed. You know, I get some advice for it. The thing is, so I was trying to get, because one of my girlfriends has a similar problem. It's not quite as extreme as mine. But I was trying to get through to the one in Lansing. She's at her work listening to the station.
No, cannot.
All right, what's the question?
Okay, the question would be, I can't get any kind of an orgasm. Like, I have to have other people in the room or do it myself. I mean, it's like, it's weird. I can't.
So you can masturbate to orgasm?
Oh, yeah. He can get me close to it, but he can't do it.
How does he do that? What technique?
Oh, everything.
So anything
gets... We have tried everything and anything,
what works for you?
And everything else.
But what works
doesn't
for you?
Work.
What basically works for you? What's the best for you?
He does everything. It gets me close, but it doesn't, like, get me completely off.
Right.
And it's weird. When we're with other people...
Who cares?
What do you mean, other people around? What does that mean?
Well, like a big group orgy. I mean, we've had numerous ones of those.
Numerous orgies?
Oh, yes.
How many people?
Anywhere from 10 to 15 or better.
Or better?
Better
than 10 or 15 people? Like 25 people?
Our maximum people we've had in the room is 23.
23?
Odd number?
Mm-hmm. Well, at a certain point, it's sort of every man for himself. And that 23 people, were they fairly evenly split between the men and the women?
For the most part, I mean...
Yeah, 22 dudes and you?
Men, yeah.
Really turned into one of those gangbang films, basically, is what it turned into.
It's just, it's weird, because, like, I can't even figure out why. I've actually almost went to my doctor to ask him what is wrong with me.
Well, to need high levels of arousal to have orgasm and to sort of seek out that kind of experience... suggest that you've had some overly intense sexual stimulation sort of delicate developmental times in your life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to do some gambling?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Let's get some money.
Let's gamble. And you be Dr. Drew, and I will go as one of the friendly people from Sanku Chicken.
Okay. All right.
That's what I will be.
You got money?
No, I cannot! No, you do not! Okay, I will, should I go first?
Yeah, go ahead. Put your money down, man.
No, I shall not! You must trust me! Oh, you got a new microphone there, Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah, good time.
How about that? Seamless.
All right. Let's see.
Hold Alyssa here.
Yeah. Why don't you go first? Go ahead.
Well, I'm going for sort of just high-level chaos in a child, a lot of physical... aggression and somehow some. What is that? Wait a minute, I gotta figure out what this is.
Mm-hmm.
You go ahead.
Want to hear her voice again? Her voice doesn't sound too crazy.
No.
Alyssa?
Uh huh.
Your voice doesn't sound that crazy.
Okay.
I don't know. We've tried some pretty weird things.
All right, there.
All right, I'm just going for the aggression. She needs lots of maybe she wasn't even overtly physically abused, but there's a lot of aggression and chaos in her home growing up, a lot.
All right. I'm going to say that she was not sexually abused. No, no, she cannot.
Neither of us go for that, huh?
No, not sexual. No. Could I have 50-50 on the beef and the chicken with the shawarma? But no. What are you doing with all those kind of?
Right, you're getting a little Asian in your imitation here.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to say, she doesn't have that little girl voice. On the other hand, it's like total chaos over there.
No, it's not total chaos. It's like she needs total arousal. She needs this extreme experience in order to experience herself.
What if she's just incredibly stupid and is being manipulated? Some people sometimes are just so stupid they'll just do anything anyone tells them to do.
Yeah.
And they don't even know it. They become like a dog.
That though, then that goes sort of down the eating disorder path, like the intrusiveness. There's no self there to defend itself.
Yeah,
you can I'm gonna
go with just colossally stupid.
Throw in a little.
No.
Mildly.
Well, I mean, the general stuff, you know, some alcohol and the bad dad and all that hillbilly stuff.
Yeah.
The general hillbilly platter, the hillbilly buffet.
Okay.
With just the super low IQ.
Okay.
Because she can't hear me talking now, can she?
No, of course not.
Alyssa?
Uh-huh.
All right, let's talk about your past. Where's your dad?
With my mom.
All right, they're still together?
Oh, yes.
Ooh, any alcohol abuse?
No.
No.
Did you move around a bunch when you were growing up?
No. Stayed in the same place until I was 18.
What's your dad, what's he do for a living?
Builds electric motors.
I see. For what?
Just about anything that can use an electric motor.
Bongs.
Hold on, let me write that down.
Builds electric motors for?
Things that can use electric motors?
Yeah, I believe that was... Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
All right. So far, I'm winning the bet here, Drew.
Yeah.
I see. I understand. Well, that's fascinating. Fascinating what he does with those electric motors. You don't want to tell me anything, those electric motors? Could they go in diesel locomotives or
stock
could
car.
They go in little slot cars?
Slot cars, yeah.
It varies. I mean, just whatever they can order for.
It varies. Okay, I see. So you're saying if I talked to your dad and asked him if he built the ones that go in diesel locomotives or in the miniature slot cars, he would say yes. What do you like?
Both. Depends on the
how many do you
probably
need?
Probably. I don't know exactly what I'll
do. All right. And this goes to prove my theory that no woman has any idea what her dad ever does. But no abuse? No sexual abuse growing up?
Nope.
No? And what do you do now for a living?
I'm a subcontractor.
For what?
What? For CJ's cleaning service.
You do you do like maintenance work?
We go in behind the people and clean up after them.
Behind the people that
like
do what?
When they do the construction, after the site's completely finished, we go in and clean up the house.
Oh, that's interesting.
After they're all done.
Oh, okay.
So it's ready for people to move in.
All right. Is that something your boyfriend does?
He does rough framing.
Rough framing. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can just see him now. Sucking on that Mountain Dew.
No, he doesn't like that.
Oh, yeah. You don't think so. I can see him on that job site. Smoking them Winstons. Bags hanging off that leathery ass of his. Putting in the header. Making racial jokes. I know these guys. All right, baby.
And next caller!
Where do you guys live?
We live just outside of Williamson.
All right. You have any kids?
Two.
Oh baby. God. No more orgies now. You got two kids.
They're both from him.
But still, I mean, that you need to create some stability in your relationship. And now, did you have a lot of sort of aggression in your home or violence or anything growing up?
Nope.
Nobody ever hit you?
Not outside of physical fist fights that started at school.
You got into fist fights at school?
Oh, yes.
Why?
You know, stupid reasons, like when you're growing up.
Were you in a gang or something?
Oh, no. Never.
Okay, but you got in a fist fight. And you never saw anybody hit anybody in your home, or, no aggression in your home growing up?
No, just being grounded. When we did wrong, we got grounded.
All right, I got grounded.
All right, well.
I can't have an orgasm, or it's easier to have one when there's 20 guys. 20 people in the room having an orgy.
Give us your cultural interpretation of what it means that he's a framer in the context of that.
Rough framing is just a hair above roofer and maybe a notch below even drywaller. Very super white trash. Albino trash.
So these guys are just into stuff.
That's the worst society has to offer. Besides the guys who work at the Lebanese restaurants. One notch below the Lebanese restaurant guys.
They should have been
guys.
Fist fights in high school, which is kind of...
I may take the money for just a low IQ.
No, yeah, you get it. Yeah, you get it. But it's in, she this high level of intense...
Who knows? Listen, stop whatever you're doing. Find Jesus Christ and raise those kids in a decent environment, please. Sam?
Sleeping.
14?
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Hey, you guys are really awesome. I listen to you guys like every night.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, I jack off like 6 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Even through all that pot, it's cool.
He doesn't smoke pot. He just sounds like it. Oh, so wait a minute.
Just wondering if
Spicoli.
You smoke a lot of weed?
No, man. Never.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. He's 14. Uh-huh. No chance.
Uh-huh.
Don't ever smoke weed, because you already sound like you smoke weed.
Really?
Yeah.
6 times a day?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. What do you got? You got a computer or you got a VCR?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both? You like to mix it up?
Yeah.
Keep your balls guessing.
Yep.
I like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, look, Drew, could you imagine if you had a computer when you were 14 and had access to what this kid has access to at 14?
See, I wonder what it's going to do to them, frankly. I mean, because it'd be natural enough.
I think it'll just burn them all out, and they'll all just be like hermaphrodites.
Or are they going to end up like Alyssa? Are they going to need these high levels of arousal in order to be sexual? You know what I mean?
Well, that's an interesting hypothesis.
Yeah,
it's going to need to do that.
I mean, just take any other primate and stimulate them at a developmental age that's sort of delicate and... Don't you expect something to happen in their adult life? Something to be altered in their perceptions?
I would assume that half the people will keep going and the other half will just sort of bottom out and just do it in missionary position with the lights off.
I mean, they'll sort of like, I see what you mean.
They'll just burn out and dull out.
Yeah, it's
you've been exposed to copious amounts of pornography, and not only you're... Not your dad's porn, but the super Euro fisting and the goat's ass crazy stump, you know, crazy sodomy porn, you know, and you've been doing this since age 12 to age 20, and then you just burn out. You just go screw it.
They're all going to
beat off once a year. And you never get laid.
They're all going to be like some, you know, rich old woman with everything at their disposal and just nothing interests them anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right?
Yeah. So anyway, Sam, you're 14. Why don't you reel it into 3 times a day?
Or twice. Or once.
That's pushing now.
Okay.
That's when drop off like 500% there. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Loveline, a D-man here tomorrow night. Ryan Reynolds you know him from Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, but he's also got a new movie coming out that's a big National Lampoon movie that's supposed to be real big, and I can't think of the name of it, but you've probably seen some of the commercials for it. Producer Ann will say it to me. Van Wilder, is it? Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to have a good career in the movies, too. So let's get to the phone. Let's speak to Joel, who's 20. Joel?
Yeah.
Used meth for a year.
Yeah.
You were snorting it, or were you...
Well, I am. Okay, let me sort of back up here. This sort of relates to a couple questions. First off, just sort of introduction, I wanted to say that I'm a psych major at my college in Texas, and I think, Dr. Drew, you're a great compliment to the field.
Well, I saw.
But what I want to know... is what sort of emotional and sort of cognitive, what sort of emotional and cognitive disturbances and ramifications are there from, you know, heavy daily usage of speed for the amount of time that I did it?
It's hard to, again, do you smoke it or do you snort it?
Both.
It's hard to predict. Most of the memory difficulty and the persistent mood problems that I've seen in the literature have been after, in fact, 2 years of use. So yeah. 1 year you may escape sort of relatively unscathed.
Yeah, because I noticed when I lived in Abilene and I was in a bad situation. My dad married a lady who was schizophrenic and had personality disorders and was committed a bunch of times, really abusive. And it all sort of ties in together. And when I first moved away, you know, I was very, very edgy and depressed a lot and would lash out at people. And I sort of have noticed myself in the past years back away from that. And is that, I mean, obviously that's a good sign.
Well, you're confusing different things. One is, you're not in recovery, are you?
No.
Yeah.
I really don't know what you mean. I'm not like in a program of any kind.
Yeah, when addicts stop using drugs and do not engage in treatment, they are profoundly depressed and extremely irritable and are very regressive in terms of their personality functioning. So that was the immediately at the time at which you'd stopped using, for the months after you stopped using the drug. That's a different issue than the kinds of biological problems that you're going to have chronically for years to come.
Yeah. So this is something that will probably affect me.
May not. No, it may not. It may not, Joel. You may have escaped. I think that the bigger issue for you is the probability that addiction will resurface in some other fashion, which has got to approach 100% without some form of treatment. So I would encourage you to seek treatment. And in the context of that treatment, you, of course, will be evaluated for mood problems, and they can treat that. But it sounds like you're going to make out without having any real serious mood disorder.
Sharon?
Yes.
You're 37?
Yeah.
What's up there?
My husband likes to wear my panties and my 90s and stuff.
Your 90s and your panties?
Yeah.
Oh,
perfectly,
my.
Perfectly. Mm-hmm.
And
right?
Perfectly normal, right, perfectly yeah. Healthy.
Thank you.
And he likes to wear these when he's with you, being intimate with you, or he likes to just wear them in general?
Both, but then he knows that I don't like it, so.
I'm curious how he pulled this off. How did he just showed up one day in these?
About 5 years ago, yeah.
He just walked out of the bathroom and was fully attired?
Wearing your panties?
My 90s.
90s.
I thought it was a joke at first, but then, he started doing it. Then he said that he was doing it for me, but I never did like it. And now he'll hide my stuff and wear them.
Does it bother you at all that your husband can fit into your panties?
He likes them tight.
Okay, well, I guess you don't have a choice. Is he a thong back man, or?
Yeah.
It's a French cut.
Mm-hmm.
Thong back, interesting. And this just because it'll be funny, does he do something very masculine, like, see, a bouncer?
Well.
Auto worker?
He's a Finnish carpenter.
Ooh.
Oh, Adam.
I'd like to talk to him about Finnish carpenter.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Finnish carpenter, quite a way up the evolutionary ladder from the rough framer.
Uh-huh.
These guys are a little more evolved. I don't expect this kind of behavior from a fellow Finnish carpenter.
Well, it's a very refined behavior. What are you talking about?
Oh, you're actually right. This other
mincing
guy's
about in lacy panties? Come on now. Be serious.
Now, what's his idea of good porn? Do you know what he likes, what he's into?
He likes the two girls and the guy and, just the regular.
Does he need to be in these?
Yes.
In order to have an orgasm.
Uh huh.
So without it, he can't be sexual.
We don't be.
Well, but can't he? He's getting lost in this fetish.
Well, now.
And he hides things. That's what bothers me.
All right. Well, it's all fetish.
You would too if you're wearing guys' underpants.
And that's the thing about a true fetish is that it becomes a way of managing overwhelming feelings that are generated from being close and intimate with another person. And it becomes a crutch that allows them to function sexually. And it's something that it ends up distancing the relationship. That's why you're unhappy with it, because it ends up being sort of something that drives a wedge between the two of you. And I
hold it against them.
Well, but forget the resentment and the weird feelings you have about it. Just the fact that it makes it difficult to be truly connected with someone intimate,
right,
because there's this ritual that's sort of interposed between the two of you. If it bothers you, it's something that can be treated. At least it can be. The issues can be dealt with, and they ought to be evaluated by someone. At least maybe the two of you together could see someone and help with the relationship.
Yeah, does it ever really work, though?
Well, I can't say you'd necessarily. It's like they're talking you out of the big jugs. It's not necessarily going to talk you out of it, but it may make it so you can have a decent relationship.
I don't think so.
With someone with huge jugs.
There's, a lot of other problems, like substance abuse and alcoholism and things like that.
All right, so really, he truly needs to be treated.
Oh, but he won't. We've already talked about it.
Well, you have to stay. Then you got to go to Al-Anon and get some.
How many kids do you have?
Three.
You really needed to have three kids with this nutcase, huh?
Well,
hey, Sharon, here's the deal.
You folks, and I know I like to beat up everyone for this, but could you please think just a little bit about society?
That's what I'm thinking about. That's what's worrying me the worst, because I know the kids are.
Yeah, but why'd you have three kids with this guy?
Well, we've been together for 15 years.
Why'd you have three kids with an idiot?
I don't know. He was an idiot at the time. Yeah, we've known each other since, about 22 years.
Yeah.
And we've been together for a long time.
All right, Sharon, here's the deal. What you can do to help him sort of motivate to make change is to go to some Al-Anon meetings, get yourself a sponsor, work the steps, dump all this stuff in the meetings and with your sponsor. It'll make you feel a lot better. It'll help you stand up to him, and it'll make it so that you can perhaps generate some need for change in him. Do that. That's all. That's your only hope, unless you're going to pay for therapy and get a formal evaluation, which doesn't sound like he's willing to do, and I don't think you're going to find it as effective as just going to plain old Al-Anon.
Now, as a decent-sized guy, you have to go to, like, the forgotten woman to get your panties. I mean, you got to go...
The forgotten woman? What is that?
That's that's like a big and tall place for chicks. See, guys, we're straight up. When we do a clothing store for fat guys,
big,
we call it
poorly.
Big Man.
Big, tall, and poorly.
I mean, hey, lard ass would be the name. It's like Frank's Big and Tall. We got no qualms about it. But women, it's like the forgotten woman. I just want to say a little something extra. You know, these bizarre names. They name their fat chick clothing places like they name their douches and stuff. Like, you, hey, what is this stuff? Summer's Eve. Yeah, sounds okay. Why don't you sign me up for a couple of bottles of that? What is that, like a wine cooler? It's just call everything but what it is. Women do it. Guys, right up front, Big and Tall. You know what I thought would be the greatest name for a Big and Tall place?
Huh.
Big Sir.
Ooh.
Yeah?
Ah.
Big Sir.
Nice.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Any places, that, any guys thinking about opening a Big and Tall place, go use that name. Big Sir. All right. We'll be back.
System
yeah,
down?
I think it is, yeah. I'm going to come out with a Lebanese hard rock band based on my experience at the Zanku Chicken. Play it again. Here's my band. Right now I'm just rocking. All you see is the rotisserie chicken turning and the shawarma thing turning. Oh, wait, Anderson's got a better one for my Lebanese rock band.
Yeah.
Again, all you see up on stage is the gyro thing turning around.
The lamb.
And the lamb, yeah. And now the curtains, the lights start to heat up. And this song is hot Lebanese rock song. It's called No, You Can't Have That. It goes like this. No, you cannot have. No, you cannot have. No, you cannot have. No, you cannot. You're gonna mix the couscous with the shawarma. No, no, it is all dark meat. No, no, cannot have. No, cannot have. No, cannot have. Try this beverage. It's goat based. No, cannot have. No, cannot have. No, cannot have. No, 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 you cannot have. No, no mixing. No, cannot have. Read menu. No, no, get fired. No. Yeah. Be a good band, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's always great. Now, I kid those people, but truly, they're miserable people. I'm really sad that I ever have to do business with any of these folks. Whether they're working at a gas station or at the Zanku Chicken, it's always painful. Always painful. Tammy?
Yes.
Yeah. I wish more people would just come out and say that. Maybe, perhaps, force them to change their ways just a little bit. Tammy?
Yes.
You're 30. What's happening?
Well, I have a thyroid problem.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fighting it for about 3 years.
What's the problem?
Well, they can't regulate it. I've had my medicine changed about 18 times.
Mm.
I didn't know if that's normal.
It's not normal. What's the nature of your thyroid problem? What's the diagnosis?
Well, he says that I have symptoms for both hypo and hyper.
And you're seeing an endocrinologist?
Yes, I am.
Drew, the hypo and the
too little
hyper.
Hype too much.
Yeah, right up there with the micro and macro on the retardometer, which is micro means super itty bitty, macro means as big as the universe. Hyper,
too much.
Too much. Hypo,
beneath. Too little.
Yeah. Isn't that bound to just confuse people at one point or another?
Yeah. I agree.
All right.
No.
Go ahead.
Point well taken.
Thank you.
Well, Tammy, yes, it's not the routine situation that people would have such difficulty regulating their thyroid. There are proteins circulating in your blood that help sort of regulate the way in which thyroid is made available to your body, and then your body converts the T4 to T3, and so there's sort of these systems in place that...
You sunk my battleship!
...that help, that help the body sort of create what it needs out of what you're supplementing by mouth. Why you're having such difficulty getting regulated, I don't know. Some people are very sensitive to the oral thyroid medication.
Okay.
So what's our next move?
What are you taking right now? How much?
Centauri, I'm
how much?
Taking, I think it's 0.2 right now.
0.2. So you're taking a lot.
Right.
And, and naturally enough, you'd have symptoms of hyperthyroid. It's not uncommon. Are you doing drugs or drinking or anything?
No.
Because that sometimes confounds, at least in my world, that's what often confounds it. 0.2, naturally enough, you'd feel hyperthyroid because that's a lot of thyroid supplementation. But I bet what he's telling you is that your TSH is still kind of high, which means your body's not suppressed by the thyroid. So you got to keep working on it.
Yeah. You know where good people eat food from, Drew?
Mm.
Japanese.
Eat food from?
Yeah.
Because they're so appreciative.
When eating sushi tonight.
And you walk in. You walk,
hey! 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 Shidoshi! Hey!
Ciao! Ding dong day!
And it's great. You sit next to the sushi bar and you break wind. Hey! Hey! Every time you order something, hey! It makes you feel like eating.
Uh-huh.
Hey, it's like, this is great. Gary?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just want to know, how can you tell if someone's addicted to some weed?
Well, if you can't stop, it's very simple.
Can you stop? The
thing about addiction is it's a very simple equation. If you can stop, go ahead. You're not addicted. If you can't stop, or if you can only stop for periods of time before you go back, and when you go back, there's continued escalation in spite of consequence, then you have addiction, and it's a biological event, and that's that. With weed, you can kind of tell if it's something that's a really, really important part of your life. People that are addicted to weed love the stuff. They absolutely love it. And that's because it has a different biological effect on the brain for you all that become addicted.
Hmm?
Do you love it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
How long have you been smoking for?
Since I was in eighth grade.
Uh-huh. All right, so there you go.
What is that, about three, four years now?
Yeah. But yeah, just recently it's been last 3 months, it's been almost every week.
Well, usually, weed addiction takes off right away. It's almost immediate. And it's going to stop working. That's probably why you've sort of stepped it up a little bit. You start getting depressed and start getting forgetful. And when you're someone who relied on weed as a way of making life manageable and dealing with your feelings, and all of a sudden you're feeling awful and it's not working anymore, you smoke a lot more. And then it gets a lot worse. The feelings get even more intense, and you have to get help at that point. 1 in 5 admissions to chemical dependency units in this country now for marijuana.
1 in 5.
Huh?
Yeah, what would that have been 20 years ago?
Probably less than 1 in 10, I bet you, if that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would guess. Maggie?
Yeah? Hi.
Yeah.
Okay, my question is, should I get back together with my ex-boyfriend?
How old are you?
I'm almost 13.
Oh.
I was going to say, what happened to her when she was 12? Something happened to this girl when she was 12.
Yeah. I'll tell you what happened to her today.
She turned 12.
What grade are you in?
I'm in seventh.
Seventh grade. Hey, God bless you. Good for you.
Good for you.
I always like that answer for adults, you know. Holy sweet pea. I'm 10 and a half. Good for you. Good for you. Thanks. I didn't die. Fantastic.
What?
Good for you, baby.
Tell me about this boyfriend before you broke up with him. Why'd you break up? How long had you been with him?
Well, I was with him for about a couple weeks, and well, then he's really sweet and all, and then rumors started.
He what?
What happened with him?
He was really sweet.
Sweet, right?
And then all these people started talking about rumors that he was dumping me. And my friend, he can actually hack into computers. So he did that, and he said that he did. And he said that thing. He hacked into his computer, and he said that my ex was just going out with me because he felt sorry for me or something like that. Okay. So I dumped him because of that, and so...
He then you dumped him?
Yeah.
Because he dissed her?
I see.
He disrespected her.
Right. How old is he? He said 43?
No, he's about, 14?
14. What's he in the 8th grade?
Ninth grade.
Yeah.
All right, so Maggie,
turn it down. Would you? I'm going to start singing.
What would make you want to go back with this guy that didn't really like you in the first place?
Like, you know, usually when a girl says to a guy, oh, let's just be friends, or a guy says it to a girl, that means, like, usually they don't talk to each other anymore. But, like, I mean, he calls me, I call him, or something like that, and we, like, talk, we have conversations, and, you know, he's, like, really sweet to me now. And, you know, like, I sort of regret that I broke up
with him. Hold on a second. What is all going on back there, Maggie?
Oh. Nothing.
It's like I'm hearing voices.
Okay. All right. I'm going to put you on hold for a while then.
But wow. He was really sweet.
Oh, if you say nothing, and I'm hearing, like, Dad talking, and I'm hearing her
whispering,
friend on the other line.
Whispering. God.
You know what's great about being 12, though, and a girl? Zero ability to lie. What's going on back there? Nothing. It's like your mind is just a blank Etch-a-Sketch when you're 12. You cannot even draw one line in it. You can't. You can't just say, "Gonna turn the TV down." Nope. You freeze up. This is why possums get run over at night. The headlights hit them.
Pow! Frozen.
They freeze them in the street. Run them right over. 12-year-olds do this. Maggie?
Uh-huh.
Oh, did she hang up?
Jump ship.
All right.
Maggie?
Her friend was on the other line. And I don't know who was in the background.
But he was really sweet.
All right.
Here we go.
Get back together.
Alicia.
Uh-huh. Alicia?
Yes.
24?
What's up?
Oh, my God. You remember those days when people around school would find out you were breaking up before you did?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the good old days. Go ahead, Alicia.
Oh.
No, not you. There you go.
I have a boyfriend, and we've been smoking heroin.
Mm-hmm. Good times. Yeah.
And a lot of the times when we smoke it, like, I used to throw up when I'd smoke it, and... Mm-hmm. And he still throws up to this day. And today he threw up blood when, there was blood in his throat. And I was wondering if you guys might know what's causing that.
Most likely that's something called a Mallory Weiss tear, where the retching from the vomiting causes a tear in the esophagus. It's actually a quasi-medical emergency. He needs to go to the hospital about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they can bleed to death really fast, and usually they don't.
But I've done some world-class heaving in my life, Drew, and I've never torn anything. What is that?
That's good genes.
What does that mean? I mean, I've heaved like nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
Like I heaved so hard my goddamn toenail shot out of my mouth on about the fifth try. It was just nothing.
But no tearing. No tearing. But the vomiting blood is an emergency, generally, because it can keep going and you wouldn't know it. You can kind of bleed to death in your
stomach. Can you try to vomit an hour later and see if some...
No, yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
No, because it goes south. It starts heading down the other direction. It may not come up. But the other deal is he taking aspirin or anti-inflammatories, Motrin, anything like that?
I don't think so.
Because that'll cause... And are you drinking a lot with this?
No.
Maybe you guys should stop smoking heroin.
Yeah. That's actually...
Well, that won't happen without treatment. But
right.
That's the thing about it.
Well, I've been through a program, and we're actually going to try. We're going to stop.
Good.
You're going to stop?
Yeah.
All right.
Great. That's you got to deal with this bleeding tonight. If he gets black stools or burgundy stools, anything of that sort, he's got to go to the hospital.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Hey, take care.
All right. You too.
All right. Hey, Drew, do you remember when bar stools were big business?
Yeah, but they were like stores. They were just bar stools and dinettes.
Yeah, yeah. There was a place called Lee's Bar Stools and Dinettes.
How could that be?
I used to sit around and watch these commercials. Yeah, they're huge
warehouses,
15,000 square foot stores that just sold bar stools and dinette sets.
What does that say about our culture?
I don't know what the dinette. I'm still not sure what a dinette set is.
I think
small table and chairs for a smaller dining room.
You know, I think
it's not a formal dining room.
This is a
dinette.
It's a Southwest thing. This is like trailer stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Now, this is wonderful.
Everybody owned, everyone had a bar stool growing up. Not us.
No.
Because you would have had to join whatever year you were in, and we're incapable of that. And you would have had to have a bar, but that was always very exciting. Ooh, I've got some new bar stools. Nice. Is that wicker? Sweet. Yeah. You got that bar at your house. You've arrived. Sit at the bar. You can drink at home. Nick? Nick, you're 26.
Yes.
What's up?
Oh, I've been going to school and high school and stuff with this guy, and he's a really nice guy, really good friend and everything, but, you know, he's never really had a girlfriend, and I was just kind of wondering, you know.
That's a damn lie, and you know it!
You want to give him a BJ?
No.
No.
And it just seems very odd that he's, you know, he's only like two or three years younger than me, and you just don't have a girlfriend.
So anymore. He's your good friend, why don't you ask him?
I did.
And what did he say?
Well, I'm just not interested.
Maybe he's got a pituitary tumor or something.
Yeah, look on the bright side.
Stuff happens.
He may not be gay. He may have a tumor.
Yeah, well, I would hope so.
Oh, yeah. Well. All right. Hey, here's the thing, Nick. Could this guy really be your best friend? And what's that say about you?
What do you mean?
Well,
that you have really no idea what's going on with somebody you consider your best friend.
Yeah, this form of it's a level form of communication with your best friend.
See, Adam is advocating that you either beat the crap out of him or throw poo at him. That's how he and his buddies communicate.
Right, you find out what's going on with this guy.
Right, I mean, you try to talk to him as a good friend or anything, and he just closes up like a clam.
Well, that's not a good friend.
Is that a good friend, though?
No, not really.
All right, well, that's what I'm saying. Here's all I'm saying, Nick. Whether the guy's gay or not is neither here nor there. Well, what is relevant is that he's your best friend and you don't really know what's going on with him.
Not just don't really know, have no idea. And I've tried to communicate with him on a human level and get zero. That's kind of shove off a little bit and maybe find another best friend.
Absolutely. Or go without.
Yeah. Right, best friend, you should have wrapped those up about 14 years earlier.
You say that, Drew, because you're one of these pretty college boy types, you know?
No, you've said it yourself.
How dare you? How dare you? You go off to your highfalutin college out there in the some seaboard state. Where the hell did you go over
Massachusetts.
There? Mass. And you make new friends. You see, but us townies, us cutters, we got to stay behind.
Yeah.
You understand? And we just hang out with the same guys we've hung out with for many, many years. Your life is progressive. Now you meet friends in college, then you get out of college, you go to grad school, you end up at med school, now you're interning at a hospital. You just new people. You hang out in the same town you grew up with, and you get construction jobs with the same guys.
That's got to be bizarre.
You're with these guys your whole life.
In fact,
you don't meet new people.
I just had a conversation with the Wheeze about you like a week ago.
The Wheeze, yeah.
Somebody hung up.
A friend of mine for 20 years.
He said, God Christ, I don't understand. Adam used to be the quiet, nice guy. what happened?
Yeah, baby. Yeah, the worm has turned. Ron?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
I want to ask.
Hey, Ron, hang on one second. But wasn't it you that said, Adam, that the best friend thing is something that is a proximity issue that happens before eighth grade, and then you're over that?
Right.
Right?
Yes. I mean,
you can have very good friends that stay with you your whole life, but the whole idea of best friend, something you kind of.
Well, magically, your best friend, yeah. What are the chances of everyone's best friend living next door to them?
Shocking.
Or sitting behind them in math class?
Right.
No, this is a proximity thing.
But he was really sweet.
Yeah. I don't care how sweet he was.
But you don't even have concepts of best friends after about 12. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Best friend concept sort of drops its meaning.
Yeah, maybe after 16 or 18. I'd push it up a little bit.
Here's a 26-year-old and a 22-year-old. Still
best still friend. Playing a best friend.
And with a guy who's like, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He's like a robot.
And he couldn't have ever been in the same grade, but the guy had to be years behind him in junior high and high school.
He's only just learning that he's never had a girlfriend.
Yeah. Just let it go.
Okay.
Sorry, Ron. Go ahead there, buddy.
All right, then. I want to ask, if I masturbate now as I'm 14, say, like, in about 7 years from now, like, probably, like, when I'm 22 or something.
Well, that's when you run out of sperm.
You'll probably be out by about...
Something happen.
Yeah, something happen.
What would happen?
What would happen?
If something happened?
Yeah.
You'd be beating off, except for this time, instead of going to junior high, you'd be going to junior college.
Go to hell!
All right, then.
Who was that? David Allen Greer?
Of course, anybody's screaming at David Allen Greer. Ron, I understand your question.
He wants to know if he's going to be out of sperm by the time he's in junior college.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
No, you have an endless, well, you have a supply of sperm that will be adequate to go from now until you're about 85.
What about pee-pee? Let's say he takes a whiz 3-4 times a day now.
You can get about 4 years up on himself and then just not pee for 4 years.
Not pee for 4 years?
Yeah.
Hey, there's a plan.
All right.
Ron?
Yeah?
Here's a plan.
What?
Drink a lot of liquids.
Okay.
And lots of tea, diet soda, regular soda, caffeinated stuff, coffee, like a beer, okay? And then urinate. You'll urinate constantly, okay?
Yeah.
And you'll urinate like 8-10 times a day for a year.
Yeah.
And you get up on yourself, as Drew says, and then you may not have to pee for like 3 years. But here's where the payoff comes. You're driving cross-country. You ain't pulling over.
You can go 3 days straight.
You're going right by those rest stops.
Laughing.
Laughing. Big thermos of coffee between your legs, laughing while everyone else is wetting themselves. Huh?
Yeah.
All right, buddy?
All right, then. Thanks.
All right, then. Good times.
Relax.
Good times.
You're fine.
Good times.
You're fine. Good times.
That pee idea doesn't sound like a bad one.
Try to catch up on pee?
I wish you could just store everything. I wish you could do that with sleep, semen, pee, number two.
And yet, it's funny that you would say that you, because you don't let anything rest in your body. Everything's got to come out.
It moves, man.
Snot out, semen out, poo out, pee out.
I am a system. My stock rotates every day. My semen stock turns over very quickly. I say to Drew all the time, I say, Drew, you know, I'm a very regular guy from a BM standpoint. Very regular. Drew loves the ass talk. I am good for...
I just like the matter-of-factness with which it's
for
tossed
three
out there.
Or four times a day.
Well, how'd you say that again? You're a regular guy from a BM standpoint?
Very regular.
That's nice. And the semen's turned over, twice a day.
Try to keep it fresh.
Keep that seminal vesicle empty.
Rotate that stock.
That's good. Anything else come out?
Well, here's what I'm saying, though, Drew.
You
claim that even though I have 2 to 3 regular and what I would consider attractive BMs every day, that is no more healthy than a man who does it 3 times a week. That is merely that man's schedule.
That is no more healthy, but it's weird. That you'd be having bowel movements 3 times a day.
Two on average, but could easily do 3.
Ugh.
Does that bother you at all?
Yes, it bothers me.
I mean, what I'm saying is you do not look at me as healthier than
a
man?
No, absolutely not.
Why is that? Why? Shouldn't I be healthier?
That is precisely the same as saying, well, I can hold my urine for 3 hours as opposed to somebody who has to pee every hour and a half. You know what I'm saying?
No. No, I was always...
It's the same. It's just a muscular issue. It's all it is.
It's all about muscles.
Yeah, how long you hold it. It's outside your body.
No, my bowel movements are better than most.
We'll be right back.
No, wait a minute. Excuse me.
We got to take a break.
Wait a minute.
What do you mean
you're better? I'm offended. What do you mean your bowel movements are better?
Here's all I'm saying. Everyone else sits on the toilet. They're camped out.
Right. You're pow.
I am in and out of there.
Like a surgical strike.
Absolutely.
A smart bomb, so to speak.
That's right.
Nice.
I am in and out of there, very regular, never any constipation or anything like that.
Never.
No, and I would like some credit for that.
Well, Adam, I'd like to give you credit for never being constipated.
Thanks.
Being a very regular Joe.
Yeah. Jimmy, he's camps on the toilet for like 45 minutes.
Oh, it must be quite a production.
It takes he takes like reading material, but he takes, you know, War and Peace and Reds.
But I mean, he must destroy for
Barry Lyndon.
Right?
He took on DVD.
He destroys things, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, he makes a mess. I do the courtesy flush. I'm in and out of there. Mm. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, yo. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew has picked this call, and we shall continue. Brittany?
Yeah?
You're 19. What's up?
When I meet a guy, I tell him, I don't want a relationship. I just want friends with benefits. You know, and they always get attached, and it's just annoying.
Yeah. Stinking whore.
Well, somebody always gets attached in a friends with benefit thing. Whether it's you finally getting attached to someone, which will eventually happen, or them getting attached to you, that's the way humans work. You get intimate with someone, you stay there with them, you eventually get attached.
Because I just got out of an off and on 4-year relationship, and I don't want it. I just say, I just want sex, that's it. And it's like,
well, good luck. Good luck as a 19-year-old heterosexual woman finding a guy who'll just service you sexually and then get the hell out of Denver. That's never going to happen, is it, Drew?
That's bizarre. Never heard of such a thing.
Yeah. Hey, Brittany. Hey, Brittany.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to have trouble finding this.
Oh, they just get attached to me, and then I like feel bad about hurting them. They're like, I don't want to be with you.
Yeah, well, find a guy who drinks a little more and he's nailing a few other chicks.
Okay.
You'll just be one of his bitches.
All right.
All right there, baby?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good times. Bye. Good times. All right, enjoy there. I don't need to get to the bottom every call.
No.
And listen, she was angry and screwed up and God knows what. Was you telling me at 19, as a female, You can't find a guy just to nail you and have a little sexual agreement, a little booty call once a week, a little service agreement. That's too hard to find. They always get attached.
Well, the thing is, the ones that she would get attached to, she's not getting near.
Well, the ones that she would really fall for.
The ones that don't want her.
Well, I was going to say they're incarcerated.
Yeah, right.
They'll be paroled soon.
In a way, she's doing it the best way for her.
That's fine. Don't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And if I see your dad, I'll kick him in the nuts.
Oh, but I just did a commercial
horrible job
for Chicago Planned Parenthood. They're going to start giving out Plan B through their website with a physician review, just like the stuff I'm trying to set up here in California.
Mm-hmm.
But you can order Plan B through the website in Chicago. And I wonder if you can order from wherever you are.
Whoa!
That's a big deal, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's huge. Tremendous.
Emergency contraception we're talking about.
Plan B, yeah. Yeah, we go. You know, I understand why they need that physician's note, because you put this stuff on the shelves, and boys are going to be eating this birth control.
Well, they start giving it to their cats and dogs. It'll fly off the shelves.
Very dangerous. Like I said, I understand that certain rules are in place for certain reasons, like I've said many times with the crab shampoo.
Well,
you must have a prescription to get this, because you start putting this stuff on the counter, and the general public gets hold of the crab shampoo without the assistance of a doctor, and you got holy hell breaking loose. You got people without crabs using the crab shampoo. You got retarded people drinking the crab shampoo. I mean, everyone just close your eyes and imagine a world where you could get crab shampoo without a prescription from your doctor. I mean, that's not the kind of world I'd like to live in.
You could get kerosene or paint without a prescription. I mean, think about that. What people could do with that.
Oh, it's going to keep going. Gasoline.
Gasoline, yeah.
Shotguns, munitions, crossbows.
Oh, my God.
Boxing equipment.
Yeah.
It would just keep going and going and going. Yeah. Ma Wang, ephedrine.
Kava Listen, I'm a little pissed off.
It would keep going.
Kava Kava, which we know has kind of quasi-addictive potential for addicts, now have been shown to have really very, very serious liver effects. There were great medicines pulled off the market because 6 people had some bad liver outcomes with it. 6 right. people out of millions helped. Here's a drug that helps no one.
How do you know it helps no one?
Helps no one. There's lots of better things out there than this, and it has serious and not uncommon liver effects.
But
where's the LA Times on this one?
Oh, those left-wing pussies, please. But Drew, it's from the Orient. It's an herb.
It's a root. Kava root.
It's
from a tree.
It's from the Orient, though. You understand? Those people know so much more than we do. Do you understand? That's why we kicked their ass in World War II. Jesus, please. No, they know so much. They know so much. Yeah, they're geniuses. That's why we got to give them a good ass kicking every once in a while. Yeah.
Also, I mean, the death rate in pregnancy and the death rate.
Oh, they're geniuses.
People die at the age of 30.
No. Comes from the Orient. They're geniuses.
But they live much happier lives.
Oh, they're happy. They're happy.
Holistic life.
They love the old people there. Jessica? Oh, did she hang up?
She hung up, yeah.
Fantastic. Stan?
Hey.
17.
Hey, thanks, man.
Don't talk to a lot of 17-year-olds named Stan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, you talked to me about a week and a half ago.
Probably said the same thing.
Yeah, probably.
What's up there, buddy?
Hey, you gave me some help on seeing how I could get, like, attracting females because I was having trouble with it.
Mm-hmm.
I took the advice, and this week I kind of hooked up with a girl. What do you consider probably the best idea for taking a girl on our first date? Oh, boy.
Yeah, I take her to the boneyard, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, high five, Drew. Thanks, buddy. Cool. Stan, what? First date?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Are you in high school?
Yeah, I'm a junior.
And is she in high school?
Yes, she's a senior.
Ooh,
huh.
Prom time's coming up.
Man.
She may be asking you to the prom soon.
That's actually basically what I asked her to go
so
to.
So if I go
to your junior prom?
Well, I go to a Christian school, so it's a junior-senior banquet. Our school doesn't believe in dances or anything, so...
Mm. Yeah. What is this, Footloose? You got the preacher chasing Kevin Bacon because he's teaching people how to dance? Oh, Jesus Christ. Don't tell me Footloose is too new a movie. Too old a movie.
Way too old.
Oh, my God.
Stan.
What you all on? Stan is 17. Anderson's pretending like he never heard of Footloose. Please tell me that's not true.
He would have been 3 when Footloose was out.
Really. Footloose has got to be 15 years old, right?
Right.
Holy Christ, Stan was 2. So you want to take her on a date? You want to take her to a restaurant or to a movie?
I think the most important thing is don't put a bunch of heat on that first date.
Yeah.
Don't make her uncomfortable with it being so intense and so much, you know, so drippy with the... sort of your intense feelings about it and anxiety. Just do something fun.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, too. If a woman... I was just talking to a woman today who was going out with a guy, and the guy kind of ruined it.
What'd he do?
He just started... he started talking.
Spazzing.
I think he was sort of kidding around, but he was saying, like, you know, you're the kind of girl I could marry kind of thing. And
First date?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was hamming it up a little. But it was sort of like, hey, if not you, then it would be someone just like you kind of thing. And she got a little wigged out and didn't see the humor in it.
Yeah, you got to remember, the first day, you're like, it's like walking a greyhound, right?
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
You know, the women can kind of, it's like walking, kind of call.
They can take off?
Yeah, like a whippet. It's like, boom, they can break.
Yeah, you got to take it easy. So don't say too much.
Yeah.
Women love guys that don't talk.
But listen. You got to listen.
You got to listen. You nod your head.
Right on.
But you don't talk too much.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right, let's do a little experiment. All right?
All right.
Oh, you know what I hate about that Kimberly Hayes thing? She thinks she's all that. She was wearing a pair of shoes that I had bought a week before, but I wasn't going to pull them out yet because Susie Gerlando had the same shoes, too, so we both agreed we're going to wear them on the same day.
Mm.
And then... So she goes and pulls, Kimberly does, she pulls her shoes out. So now it's like me and Susie bought our shoes copying Kimberly, when in fact we had them a week before. We just agreed that we're decent enough people not to wear them yet.
Hmm.
Oh, Stan, vibrant and puckish rendition. Nice grunts. Very well done.
That's good. That's good. It's very good. Now,
well, that's good. Sincere, and a very alert and vibrant. Vibrant, yes, yeah, nice.
Yeah, yeah. All right, that's nice. And pout a little bit sometimes. Don't look like you're having a great time. And don't dance for them.
Okay.
But be a gentleman. Open the door and do all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But don't be working too hard. Here's the thing. Here's the problem. The guys go on dates, they become like salesmen. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the woman is like, you know when you go on a test drive with a guy?
He's trying
to sell you the car?
Stop.
And instead of you just driving in the car and checking the car out, seeing how the car ride, guy never starts talking, smooth as silk. Oh, she's a peppy engine. Boy, she's peppy. I'll tell you, this thing really gets it. And it gets the looks, too. Sips gas, but boy, I tell you, she'd get up and go. He's ready to go. Oh, you throw that baby down in the passenger gear. Oh, it goes in plenty of room in the back. You like any sports? Because I tell you, put an optional rack on the top. Put a snowboard up there. And then all of a sudden, you start getting turned off.
And like, they usually try to close, too. Like, what would it take for you to drive this home?
Yeah. What range you in?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And think what a guy
what
would
What do you got
say.
Now for a trade-in?
Think what a guy's kind of stuff comes out of his mouth and the way he's trying
How
to
How much
close.
You blow me? It's really bad, basically what they're saying.
No, they get started going into. So, what do you think about sex on the first date?
Yeah. No, here's the closer with the guy. So, someone looks like they could use a massage. My girlfriend said to me on a Saturday while I was, just basically catatonic on the sofa every Saturday night, she goes, you used to give me massages.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
really?
Why the hell did I give you a massage? When we first started going out, I was like, oh yeah, I was trying to get your clothes off. I thought you meant like a year ago or something. No. Oh, then? No, yeah. Trying to get your bra off.
Oh my God.
It's like
the massage.
You used to like massage, huh? I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, that thing to get your clothes off. That's right.
What do you call that again?
Listen, I wish I could just yell, take your clothes off. But I got to say, you're saying, let me give you a massage. You're really saying, take your clothes off. That's what guys do. That's the clothes. But don't work, guys. Don't push. That's what I'm saying. That's what we need young Stan to do. Just relax. Stop selling. Right, Drew?
Absolutely.
They like you enough. They're going out on a date with you.
Right.
Don't push. We'll be back. I can tell you, but I have to shoot you. Now, she is hot, boy. I'll tell you what. All right, let's hop the phone, Sam. Sam is talking to me. Amanda. Amanda, yeah, I was having a handful. Well, Sam's having 15 years old. What's up there, baby?
Amanda.
Hi. Okay. Yeah. I have a question.
Does it?
I was wondering, when I'm, like, giving my boyfriend a blowjob. then we, like, kiss and, like, make out. And then he goes down on me. Can I get pregnant?
I think that would appear in some sort of journal if you managed to pull that off. But you can dream up any kind of scenario where sperm might be deposited down there by various means, and I guess it could happen. You got to be careful, but highly unlikely, obviously.
Really? Okay, I just want to make sure.
Yeah, you're thinking though, baby. But look, you're gonna get pregnant soon.
See, it's maybe time to get on that pill.
You're 15. Giving your boyfriend a BJ, then making out with him, then he's going down on you. How long until she gets pregnant, Drew?
Today's Monday, Tuesday, about 72 hours.
Okay, 3 days. you have some birth control?
Well, we haven't had sex yet, but...
Yeah.
If we...
But you're gonna. And when you do, you're not gonna know when. And it'll be soon. I mean, how far off could it be? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get a little realistic here now. You can get some birth control.
Okay.
What's going on with your family? Everything good?
Everything's good.
Dad still at home?
My parents are divorced.
Okay.
But I have a stepdad, and he's really cool.
He's a good guy, really?
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
stepfather.
Refreshing.
You like your stepdad?
I really do.
Wow, that's amazing.
Wow, I believe her.
Yeah, good. Good, that's a good guy. Most every daughter hates her. My sister hated my stepdad for like no reason. I was just like, hey, leave the guy alone. He's no great guy. He doesn't do anything. He's just sitting around, you know, pays a bill or two, changes a light bulb.
What do you symbolize?
Why do you hate him? It's like, I got him. He's a man. I hate my dad, so, you know. But it's good times. Good times. Tell you, a lot of hijinks at home, boy.
Jessica, 25. Jessica.
Yeah, I have a 3.5-year-old who plays with himself what seems like almost compulsively now, I've been telling myself that, you know, it's just natural and he's sort of exploring himself and it's all good, but and to my knowledge, he's had a lovely childhood. Nobody's put any bad hands on him.
Where's his dad?
Dad's here. I'm married.
All right. Well, it's normal for there to be a certain amount of touching going on. You could bring it up with a pediatrician and just. I'm sure he's.
Thank you very much. You made $200.
Yep.
Well, I'll just tell you what there, Jed, but that's a damn speed, man. But I got a little nephew that gets 1 year old, man. But one day I come to the bathroom and say, and I go to the bathroom door, the guy's a little bit of a and I come in there and say, what's going on? But he's looking at me and says, oh, I'm like, I'm all something, I didn't even know that. Well, I said, well, my sister comes in the room and she sees me, and I'm talking about it. Well, now my 2-year old nephew's got a little bit of a thing, I'm going to go on. But it's all at the end of something, I mean. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Jason?
Hello.
Yeah, 26?
Yeah.
Your fiance is HPV?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering, she just had an abnormal pap.
Yeah.
And she was diagnosed with HPV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, when we decide to have children, will there be any implications?
No. Listen, 50% of people your age have that damn thing.
Uh-huh.
What do you think? We've been having problems with every pregnancy in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the warts.
That's the warts. And the procedures can cause some problems. If she starts getting let's call it carcinoma in situ, if she starts getting cancerous changes in the canal that goes up into the uterus, they have to do procedures sometimes that can weaken the cervix and create problems with pregnancy that way. But
Drew, what's that one called?
Carcinoma in situ.
Yeah. How about this time in English? Hey, let me tell you something, Jason. I have a car. I got a car. Didn't have a HPV. It had PCV. That's a positive crankcase ventilation. That's a little automotive you're afraid of there, buddy. Yeah, it's good times, baby. It's all good. We're all going to be dead in a few years, all right?
Relax.
Yeah, just relax, all right?
Okay.
It's all good with it.
All right.
Now, you know that nearly 45% live in the urban areas, is that what I mean?
With warts, yeah.
Yeah,
and Jason from Riverside. Think of the stats there.
Well, you say you have warts now, but I'm saying to you, well, it's all the urban area, but am I right, Drew?
I don't know.
Stop me when I'm lying. Very funny. Ha!
Yeah.
Dirk, you're 19.
Yeah.
What's up?
When my girlfriend's giving me a blowjob,
mm-hmm.
She likes to stick her fingers my ass.
Well, geez.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I just want to know if it's normal.
You're gay.
I'm gay.
Yeah, well,
that's
abnormal.
I don't know.
Dirk.
Yeah.
It's my new policy. When guys call and they do prank calls, I'll just keep talking.
Just talk over them as loud as you can.
Yeah, right. Dirk. I think he hung up.
He had enough. Oh, it worked. Good job. Let's just talk between ourselves for the last minute of the show, shall we?
Not all of them. Not all.
Oh, I get the same treatment, too?
No. No, but I think it really... I think it thoroughly confounded Dirk.
Yeah, it startled him. He was expecting to have a little his way with us.
Yeah. Well, he came to the wrong place. All right there, Drew. You have anything to say?
No, not really.
Edema's coming in here tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Edema is good guys who came in here...
4 months ago?
No, I'm not going to make that mistake. I'm going to say...
6 months ago?
It feels like 4 months ago. Yeah. I'm going to say 6 months ago.
Yeah, how long?
October.
Yeah, 6 months.
Nearly. It's like five months. Oh. Yeah. All right, we got right in between that time. I overshot it. I overcompensated because it felt like four, but I thought, no, I say 4 months, it turns out to be 3 years usually. Yeah. That's one of those getting old things. So 5 months. Good guys, good band. Going to be in tomorrow night. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Show.
That's it, huh?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
So, Demon tomorrow night. Thanks for listening tonight. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, No, cannot have. Try this beverage. It's goat based. No, cannot have. You cannot have. No mixing. No, cannot have. Read menu. No. Get fired. No.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff.